New feature for Tessa Snot. I'm sure she's going to enjoy it. Maybe not. I don't know. It's just one of those things we're trialing. Tessa Snot, welcome to the program. How are you?
Hello. I'm all good, thank you. The sun is shining, so that's always good.
Excellent. Love the way you say the sun is shining, where actually people listening to this on Siren Radio on a Wednesday night, they might think it's been dark for hours now, but what the hey, it doesn't matter. It just shows time. Somewhere in the world, the sun is always shining, we think, rather like the empire in which the sun never sets. Oh, that was the British one. Maybe not. Anyway, let's move
on. Lockdown's got me all confused.
Yeah, well,
days and nights.
Are you locked down? I mean, I thought you were in education. I thought educational people, we just carry on regardless, you know, because we're immune.
I've gone mental.
I see. Well, that's perfectly okay. Anyway, before we actually hear more about your tune of the week, we're going to actually sort of give you a little test, a little quiz, because what we actually have lined up are 5 tunes which we're going to play a short snippet of, very, very short, tiny snippet. I mean, we're talking maybe 15, 20 seconds, etc. And you need to identify them. So you might need to have a pencil to hand or something on that basis. You don't have to identify them as the government. I mean, basically, I'll play all 5 pretty much rapidly, one after the other. And then after that, in fact, you know, I could actually do what we've done in the past with TV themes and say, do you want to go for 3, do you want to go for 4, do you want to go for 5? I'm going to put you down for 5, basically.
5.
On the basis of 3, you get a bronze award, 4, silver, 5, of course, gold. So I suspect, let me see, I think you're pretty much guaranteed bronze. You may get silver. I'll be surprised if you get gold. But, you know, you might shock me. It's just a line. So are you ready for this this new little feature that we're piloting for the first time in this particular production? It's called not so much Tessa's Tune of the Week, but Tessa's Tiny Challenge. Okay, TTC, Tessa's Tiny Challenge.
I'm excited. This is new.
Well, you know, we always like to freshen things up, as the whole thing is all about. Otherwise, how are we going to actually continue to move boldly into the future? Okay, I shall not say anything more now until we come to the end of the sequences. Here we start off with number 1.
Well, I was born on a chicken farm near Nashville.
And there we go. That's it. I said they were going to come thick and fast, Tessa.
Yeah, that was tricky. I think you're right that I might get 2 or 3 out of 5 because I recognise them all, but for the life of me, there's 2 that I struggled with.
Okay.
Well,
let's start off. Now's the time where we can actually relax momentarily and we'll fire them off in the background. So this, of course, was number 1. Now, I would have thought you should have got this easily.
Yeah.
What is the name?
Islands in the Stream.
Yes. By?
Dolly Parton.
Yes.
And Kenny Rogers.
Superb. Superb. Absolutely spot on, huh? To get you with a fine tooth comb. And I think you might also have got number 2, which of course was this.
I didn't.
No?
I didn't. I know it. And
wow.
I can't think of it. I know it.
Wow.
Come on.
I mean, you turned this down last week. You said, obviously, Johnny Cash is just not on your list at all. Johnny Cash.
I put Johnny down.
Yeah, many people have said he should have been put down years before he was, but never mind. Johnny Cash and A Thing Called Love, The Man in Black, and you failed to identify it. Well, okay. This one, though, surely you must have got number three.
Oh, yeah.
It is?
Caught in a Trap by Elvis Presley.
No. Elvis Presley, correct, but it's Suspicious Minds.
Oh, I always call it Caught in a Trap. I don't know why.
I thought we had this. We discussed this with yourself and your mum many years ago, and it's not Caught in a Trap. You know, that is part of that's the opening lyric, the opening line, but it's called Suspicious Minds.
I know your song, man.
And you can hear him sing the chorus now. When you don't believe a word I say. There we are, you see. Sorted out. Now, this is the one I think you might have had difficulty with, but what do you think this was?
I have no idea.
Well, I'm going to play the whole thing for you. It's 50 odd seconds. David Carradine and The Chicken Song.
Well, I was born on a chicken farm near Mashville, Tennessee. There was nobody there but a sky full of air, 17 million chickens and me. Then one fine day I said, hey, I think I'll drop a little LSD. Well, it blew my mind and I got so kind that I set my chickens free. There was chickens in the cabbages, chickens in the corn, chickens in the cauliflower, chickens in the barn, chickens driving Cadillacs to Washington D.C. when I set my chickens free. Whole country full of chickens.
It's almost as though he's predicting the American presidential election. Of course, The Chicken Song by David Carradine there. What, of course, was... Yeah, well, you know, I was very close to being an official choice of this of an opening theme to Sound and Country Vision, so you know, it's always nice to have chickens involved, I feel.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I agree.
Yeah, but what about this one?
I know it. I know the music.
Yes.
I'm going to kick myself again.
Yeah. It was actually one of your Tessa's tunes of the week, so once again, you sort of think, do you pay any attention to this?
I do, but obviously I listen to so much.
Yeah, of course. So, well, you've just
heard... The one that I said sounded like Passenger.
Mm.
I can't remember the name.
Danny Smart.
That's it, Danny.
And You and Me. Danny. Exactly. Yeah. Even sounds like Tessa Snart, but not quite. Danny Smart, not Tessa Snart. You and Me.
I should have got that.
Well, I would. Yeah, I mean, you know, again, it's just, you know, just goes to show. Sometimes you select these things, you put them forward as Tessa's tune of the week. The artists sort of think, oh, great, Tessa's always going to remember my song. No, sorry, you know, it's out of mind, you know.
I've got a playlist on Spotify with like over 9 hours of songs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard,
right? these are the sort of challenging things. Okay, what did you get for that? Well, obviously, nothing from Danny Smart. No. Nothing for the. I didn't expect you to get the David Carradine one. Half for Elvis Presley.
That's hard.
It's not Caught in a Trap. I mean, Caught in a Trap can be completely different.
Absolutely
nothing for A Thing Called Love and Johnny Cash. But you did get. You started off so well. You know, started off so well, but then.
I know. That was an easy one, though. Everyone would get that.
Well,
the
line now before we go around is to find out what your tune of the week is going to be, which you'll probably forget tomorrow in any case. Only kidding. Which one of those would you like to hear? I mean, you've already heard The Chicken Song, but you could always hear it again. You can choose one that you can hear in full. Islands in the Stream, A Thing Called Love, Suspicious Minds, or You and Me. Which one are you going to go for?
Oh, that's so tricky because they're all so good.
You can say that now. You didn't. You only identified one out of the four, out of five of them.
I know.
So,
yeah, but it's, you know, when you're put on the spot in the space of a few seconds.
Yeah. Well,
not that that's any excuse.
No. Well,
I'm going to go with the king. Let's go with Elvis Presley and Suspicious Minds.
Gonna go for Elvis Presley and Suspicious
Minds.
Not Caught in a Trap. Well, no. Although the opening line, of course, is.
We're caught in a trap. can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me when you don't believe a word I say? Say hello. Would I still see suspicion in your eyes? But here we go again, asking where I've been. You can't see the tears are real, I'm crying.
I suppose, to be fair, he does say caught at a trap or sing caught at a trap quite a number of times there. But it is still called Suspicious Minds.
It is. That was a crime to say that.
Well, I said it quickly. Yeah, and hoped you'd sort of get, not in the midweek drive. We've got some very exciting news, Tess, and it may well be somebody is actually listening to this at present and they might be the one, because we are only approximately 60 downloads away from reaching 200,000 downloads.
Wow.
For the midweek drive.
That's amazing.
Well, I just put it out there in terms of somebody. I mean, we should really have sort of a bells and whistles thing where somebody actually presses that button to say, congratulations, you've made 200,000. The 200,000th download. So there we are.
That was a milestone.
Well, I'd like to think so. But not as much of a milestone as Scott Nichols, of course. More Than Love Owes Me. Surely £200,000 would help. No, it's all right. Not a pound to download. Mind you, that'd be nice. What are you going to say in terms of the introductions for this latest tune of the week, which obviously, if it's anything like Danny Smart, you'll forget about within a couple of days, basically.
Oh, my brain is everywhere right now.
It's puppy brain, isn't it? I blame the Alsatian. Exactly.
Well, I'm blaming him for everything these days, bless him.
Yeah. Is he still muzzled?
He still eats things through the muzzle, Alex. Right. I mean, honestly, he is just... impossible.
You should have called him Hannibal, as in Hannibal Lecter.
Yes.
And just gone from that basis. Feed him kidney beans.
Just
a thought. Okay, carry on.
Yes, so this next artist is based in London, so one of our own. And this is actually his third original song that he's just released. And it's all about basically working on relationships. And, of course, over lockdown, these have been tested a lot. You know, people have been confined in four walls together. And I think that can go either way when you spend too much time with one another. So this is what this song is all about. And he quotes, it's basically a love song for love. It's got a very rocky feel. It is country. But if you're fans of Kip Moore, then you're going to love this one. So that's what this one is all about.
And before we press that magic button, Tessa, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have. It's been thrilling. It's been different.
Well, you know, it hasn't been quite as triumphant.
I'm never going to live that down, though, am I?
Well, I mean, I was going to say it hasn't been quite as triumphant as I perhaps anticipated.
No.
Maybe I was expecting too much. I thought you would have got at least three of those.
I should have got all of them.
Well,
you know, three greats in there, a really quirky song, and one of my own.
Yeah, I mean, I figured David Carradine and the Chicken Song might have been the one that sort of stopped you getting a complete five, but I did think that, as you said, one of your own, you would have actually straight in. Never mind.
I know.
However, will you return?
I will, and hopefully with a better, I don't know.
We'll put some coordination together. Don't forget, you can also listen to Sound, Country in the Kitchen, which is available, of course, on Siren, as well as, of course, the Country in the Kitchen podcast on the various social platforms. And Tessa will be back for us at various times with the Midweek Drive and another Tune of the Week as well. Okay, coming up, we'll be listening to Scott Nichols' More Than Love Owes Me after this.
Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting. Podbean.com.
I've learned to follow my ways, and I'm right here on the stage, and I'm dying to show you how it changed. But it don't mean the love of me won't have its ups and downs, and what good is giving love if you don't come around? And what use is changing who I am, baby? You ain't here to see, honey. I'm willing to be your man, and I'm off the 90 proof. I'm dying to show you how it changed. But it don't mean the loving me won't have its ups and downs. And what good is giving love if you don't come around? What use is changing who I am if you ain't here to see? Honey, I've been waiting all my life for a girl like you. But it don't mean the love of me won't have its ups and downs. And what good is giving love if you don't come around? What use is changing who I am if you ain't here to see? Honey, I owe love.
ministers
and presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive
and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
remains.
That's Lily Holloman affecting an accent.
I fall off my chair, and I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you, and I'm wondering what it is I should do. It's so hard to keep the smile from my face, losing control, yeah, I'm all over the place. To the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
When you started out with nothing and you found that you're a solid man, and your fans, they all come calling, slap you on the back and say,
stuck in the middle with you, kicking off another Midweek Drive as far as Siren Radio and indeed other stations are indeed concerned. And we're delighted now to welcome back to Southside Broadcasting the awesomely talented, fantastic individual, writer extraordinaire. She made her debut, of course, with us about a month ago. She's already produced The Joys of Threads of Steel, Little Bronze Girl. It's Hetty Aston. How are you, Hetty?
Hello, Alec. I'm very well, thank you. And how are you?
Oh, well, you know, here we are, lockdown two. This time it's personal, it's all good. But then those of us who are working in education, we still have to get out and about and do our teaching. We still have to do our academic stuff. You know, it's...
I know.
It's all part of the rich tapestry. I'm sure you will have got the call already to actually say, come back, Hetty, we need you on the front line again.
I think I'm a bit too old.
Oh, no, nonsense.
But
you know.
I'm full of admiration for those who are working on the front line. They must be tired.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it's the fatigue factor that's often the most challenging. I mean, and certainly when we're doing, I mean, this particular studio setup, et cetera, that we have at the James Cook University Hospital, of course, that's for the benefit of Siren listeners up north. We're obviously, we see and in regular contact, obviously, with the staff frontliners. And, yeah, we're just having to keep on going. But still, when we've got such fantastic leadership in the country, I mean, what more do we need to ask for, really, he says?
A vaccination.
Is that, is that so?
It's just around the corner, isn't it?
Well, yeah. And then, of course, we can look forward to COVID-20 and COVID-21, perhaps. But never mind. Ever the optimist, the glass is always half full. That's the important system. So share with us. I mean, you've had quite a number of challenges, obviously, in your personal life and since we last spoke. But how's life been battling? I mean, you've clearly been battling through, and we're delighted that you're back with us at present. I mean, have you basically put the writing on a momentary hiatus, or is it a case of no, you're using the writing as therapy?
Well, a bit of both. I've had a break from it. As you know, there have been a few things going on here.
Sure.
But my third book is now being proofread.
Excellent.
And I was hoping it would be out for Christmas, but I think it'll be out in the new year.
Yeah,
and it completes the trilogy. Yeah. It's called Circlet of Gold.
Excellent.
And that one will complete the trilogy. So, yes, I'm back now in harness and working again.
Yeah. So, I mean, I suppose technically we've got Little Bronze Girl, or Threads of Steel, I should say, Little Bronze Girl, Circus of Gold. Maybe we should actually just rewrite and go for Threads of Silver. Just a thought there. Then you've got bronze, silver and gold.
Somebody did suggest platinum.
Well, exactly, but that'll be the fourth in the series, clearly. And you know, it may well be Christmas 2021, but it will be out there, and I'm sure it's something to look forward to. But today, extra special stuff. You're going to actually provide an authorial reading from indeed one of the texts. Would you like to share with us what you're going to actually provide for us, Hetty?
Yes, I would. It's a little reading from Threads of Steel, and it's Christmas 1931. And Bettina is 15 years old, and she's living in an iron and steel town in the northeast of England with her Aunt Vera and Uncle Ang. Olive is also there, and her two younger brothers will be visiting for Christmas. So that sets the scene. And this chapter's called Christmas Shopping, and I have a little excerpt from it. Will I start now?
I think so. That would be ideal.
Right. Here we go, then. In my bedroom, as I own a house, I counted the money I'd saved with a view to doing Christmas shopping. That was just enough, but I realised that as soon as it was New Year, my main objective would be to find myself a job. I had already mentioned this to Vera, who told me that she would talk to Angus and perhaps there might be an opening for me at Lansdowne Short, the iron and steel company where he worked. I went into town and the big department store glowed with pretty festive displays of Christmas goods in all shapes and sizes, but to me everything seemed very expensive. The haberdashery and fabric departments were of particular interest, and I could not help but think that if only I had a sewing machine and time, I could easily have made gifts for everyone. Having a lovely things on sale, I decided that the department store was too costly for my budget, so I left. I'd heard from Mrs. Handyside that a store called Woolworths was a good place to shop, as they offered a huge variety and it was good value for money. I made the decision that this would be the very place to go to if I wanted to buy everyone a gift. On the wide pavement outside Woolworths, there was a row of prams, each containing a baby feeding itself with what looked like a bottle of tea. Those too young to hold the bottle themselves had it propped on a cushion, and I suppose that if the child was lucky, then it would not choke. I counted 8 prams in all, and not a mother in sight. I found Woolworths to be a veritable treasure trove with wide aisles and counters packed full of interesting and reasonably priced items. For my brothers, John and Alfie, I bought each of them a little tin plate car, one in red and one in green. I bought Olive a pretty woolen bonnet and a little teddy bear, a scarf for Angus, and handkerchiefs in a Christmas box for Vera. I lingered over the paper dress patterns, but I realised there was no point in buying one, so I bought a Mickey Mouse jigsaw puzzle, which I thought might keep the boys busy for a while. I had a quick look at the haberdashery, which was equally as good as the department store. Including some wrapping paper and Christmas cards, my total shopping trip came to 3 shillings, 11 pence and 1 halfpenny, which I considered good value for money. As I began to walk home, I noticed down a side street two fisherwomen selling fish from a cart. The women wore big, colourful cotton bonnets and aprons made from rough cloth and rubber. The fish looked and smelt good, so I joined the queue. A man with a portable barrel organ set up a pitch a few yards from the fish cart. His jaunty manner, bright jacket and bowler hat caught the attention of those of us queuing, as did his monkey. Before commencing playing, he called out to the fisherwoman, "Morning, me bonny lasses. Any requests?" They ignored him and continued serving their customers. "Now, Mary, me darling, you know how much I'm crazy over you. This one's just for you." And he started to play "If You Were the Only Girl in the World." "I cannot stand the sight of you, Geordie Brown. Go and take your organ round the town hall and play for councillors," Mary shouted. "Councillors, skinflints more like. Your customers are the salt of the earth and generous with it," he shouted back, encouraging the monkey to shake the tin. "A special license would see us married for Christmas, me darling. Just think how nice that would be. You, me, and Tinks here." Tinks the monkey was now on Geordie's shoulder, probably frightened by all the shouting. "Well, I've got news for you, Geordie Brown. There's no way I'll be living with that monkey of yours, so clear off back to Durham and throw yourself in river," Mary retorted. "Oh, I love it when she gets mad and flushed up. Stirs me passion, it does," Geordie said to the small crowd, which had now gathered. "I bought 4 fillets of cod, dexterously filleted by Mary's companion, whom I understood to be Nancy. As the fish was expertly wrapped in paper," she commented, "don't take a ha'porth of notice of those two lovebirds. We get this all the time." What a commotion there was when I arrived back at Iona House. Mr. Handyside and his son Stan were filling a big tub with soil, putting up the Christmas tree in the hall. There seemed to be an accompaniment of shouting and mess, so I quickly figured out that the best thing for me would be to take my shopping upstairs out of the way. However, I did put the fish on the marble slab in the pantry first. Vera was upstairs, and she seemed very pleased when I told her I'd bought fish. She told me that the fisherwoman came to town twice a week on the train from the coast, and that the fresh fish was always delicious. She also told me that Mary and Geordie always shouted and argued, as this worked as a good crowd puller for them. She said, "Tonight we shall have fish pie for supper. It is one of Angus's favourite meals." There you go.
Absolutely wonderful. There we are. And indeed, as you can tell, the spirit of the station is very much in favour of it as well. I have to say, probably one of the best quotes from the day so far, Hetty, has to be, "Go and take your organ round the town hall." Why not? You know, ooh, missus, you know. And the monkey, just as well they weren't in Hartlepool, otherwise who knows what could have happened to the monkey. Never mind. It's a relevant point, in case you're wondering about monkeys in Hartlepool. Just go and check the history books, particularly around the Napoleonic Wars. I'll just say that.
Yes, I do know Hartlepool well. I have relatives from Hartlepool.
Yeah, well, there
but
we are.
Some of your older listeners may remember the fisherwomen in Middlesbrough,
well,
who used to come up from Stade on the train with their wooden carts and push them up off Linthorpe Road.
Hmm.
They were.
I was thinking, actually, some of the more chronologically gifted folk might actually remember Woolworths. What's that then? You know, haberdashers, Woolworths. Where's that gone? I don't know. Different time, different era.
Woolies.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's there's a whole range of things from that point of view. These days, I don't know whether you have the same feeling with Aldi or Poundland. Other supermarkets are available, clearly. But so it goes. And of course, the little. What's the plan for yourself in terms of the next stage? I mean, obviously, we're looking to get the lines of gold, basically. So it's what's the third one in the title? Is the third one in the thing is Circus of Gold.
Circlet of Gold.
Exactly. Yeah. So that'll be coming through. Are we seeing an audiobook that'll be available? Will there be other variations on the whole system? How's the next thing going to expand in Hetty Aston's attempts to take over the publishing world and the planet?
Well, I don't think I'm quite planning on taking over the publishing world and the planet.
Okay.
But I would like to make an audiobook, but I understand they're quite complicated and quite expensive to make. So,
well, not necessarily, Hetty. Not at all. I mean, you know, we have the technology. There are things that actually work through. Of course, you know, it tends to sort of request, unless you've got your own recording material, you tend to actually need to be in a studio, and that's causing challenges in these socially distanced ways. But
I'm hoping to move back up north. That is my next plan.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously that'll be sort of in the springtime.
Exactly.
But in the meantime, yes, I'm working on an idea for another book, probably based in the actual Second World War.
Mm. All right. Excellent.
So this is kind of the theme. I'm just making notes at the moment. It's kind of in the embryonic stage, shall we say.
The precursor to magic, which is great stuff. A reminder, of course, Hetty Aston is the name of the author, and you can access both Threads of Steel and Little Bronze Girl from all good online sites as well from that point of view, so you can actually go and download them now. You can probably get physical copies as well if you put in the links as well. Again, awesome stuff, Hetty. I'd say happy Thanksgiving, but, you know, we're British, we don't really do the Thanksgiving thing, I don't think.
No.
What the hey. But keep on keeping on. Have you had a reasonably interesting link with us on the programme today?
It's been lovely, Alec. I've really enjoyed it, and I wish you and all your staff there and everybody in the James Cook Hospital a very Merry Christmas.
Well, Hetty, that's duly reciprocated. I take it then the answer to the second question is pretty much a no-brainer. You will return?
Of course. That would be wonderful.
Little girl, don't you be brought down. Cheer up, I'll turn your frown sunny side up. Come fill your cup with all it can hold, and it's shiny and gold like the rising sun over the sea, shining and soft like my song. Little girl, you hang around, stand up, we'll go to town, go for a ride, I'll be your guide, do what we can, baby, I'll be your man, like the rising sun over the sea, shining and soft. Fill your cup with all it can hold, and
sun over the sea, shining and soft like my song.
So the pandemic continues, whether we're into lockdown 2 or whatever our kind of views on this whole side of things. But nevertheless, it is having lots of resonances in all manner of ways across our society. One of which, of course, is the whole notion of appointment anxiety and indeed pressure from work, which also has the impact of delaying GP visits during the pandemic. Now, to actually talk through this, we have got a truly terrific duo of individuals. First of all, it's a highly joyous welcome return to the Midweek Drive to our ace psychologist and broadcaster extraordinaire, Dr. Linda Papadopoulos. How are you, Linda?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, great to actually connect with your good self again. I was thinking, you know, we need to connect with your good self through the pandemic, through various ways, and finally we've done it, which is good from that point of view. Also joining us, we've got Superintendent Pharmacist of Co-op Health, the wonderful Neil Stewart. How are you, Neil?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. Neil, let's go to you first initially. In terms of what have you noticed that people have actually been... their behaviour has been impacted by this notion of appointment anxiety? I mean, because clearly many folk would say there's been a great success in terms of making people very afraid of this pandemic, to the extent that many of us would sort of say, I don't go out at all, let alone to the pharmacist.
Yeah, I guess what we have seen, Alex, is a huge rise in demand for our online pharmacy service in delivering repeat medication to a patient's door, or home, should I say. And we've seen that, and we believe that's part of the avoidance of standing in a queue waiting for a prescription at a GP practice, and then similarly standing in a queue waiting 2 metres apart, socially distanced, to enter a local pharmacy. So what we've seen is people turning to a more convenient, technologically led service.
Now, Linda, from your own point of view, I mean, clearly, I hesitate to use the word unprecedented because it's become almost a cliche now, but nevertheless, this has been a most unusual year. Are these reactions unexpected? Is it a case of, well, you could have predicted that, or is it a case of, well, we are exploring a whole new territory here?
I think to some extent, knowing what we know, these reactions are understandable. So, you know, first of all, you know, you have, generally speaking, a significant proportion of the population who are health avoidant. They fear appointments, they fear doctors, they have health anxieties, right? So then we have this horrible illness that blindsides everyone, right? That increases all the things that increase anxiety. You know, it's a threat, it's uncertain, we know very little about it, it's novel. So all of that kind of inflates this health anxiety. At the same time, we have, and very rightly so, we have the messaging that's saying, do not flood the NHS. You know, if you don't have to go, do not go, stay home. So that then feeds into two things. Number one, increases this sense of, okay, I'm going to be more vulnerable if I go out and I'm going to hurt this service it's supposed to take care of all of us, so I'm going to do the right thing, stay home. But also what it does is it reinforces the avoidance that often happens when we feel sick but are afraid to go to the doctor. So all of a sudden you have a great excuse to not, you know, get that, you know, bump checked out, to not get, you know, that pain checked out. And now when we're kind of 7-8 months down the line, I think this is what we're seeing with the results of the co-op. You have people with this kind of reluctance about seeing their doctor, about seeing their GP. And I think part of it is definitely what happened with COVID, but I think part of it is this inflation of the general anxiety that we feel.
I was quite fascinated to find that it was the younger generations who seemed to be the most likely to avoid getting medical help, with almost half of those under 35-year-olds reported feeling that they weren't actually attending their GP appointments because of pressure of work, and over a third basically would actually run out of prescribed medicines as a result of actually putting off seeing a doctor. I mean, Neil, that must be quite a worrying statistic, really, because one tends to sort of think, well, actually, it's maybe the sort of more chronologically gifted folk who might sort of be reluctant to do that, but, you know, under 35's a little interesting.
Yeah, it's really worrying, and the dangerous consequences of putting off a trip to the GP or you know, getting your next repeat prescription is that illnesses will last longer, conditions will get worse, and that is really worrying.
Linda, is it possible to replace this with the world of cyberspace, the notion of obviously online consultations? Because we've had different views with respect to that. So I would say absolutely, you know, just use everything online. But actually that doesn't take away from obviously the lack of human contact that we have at present.
Yeah, look, I don't think they're mutually exclusive. I think, thank goodness that we have the online element, and I think absolutely there's a place for it. A lot of the work that GPs do can be done online. However, I think absolutely there's, you know, there's a need to have that continuity, to have that face-to-face work, and a lot of the work has to be done face-to-face. And I think what we're getting to now is realization that it's probably going to be a bit of both, that, you know, we have some amazing technologies out there. So whether it is sort of, you know, like the co-op app for getting your medicine delivered to your door, not having to go out, or whether it is going on a Zoom call with your doctor, or whether it is kind of having that ability to have the continuity because you're able to kind of see your doctor at times, but also go on a Zoom. I think all of these things are going to change the way that we're doing things. And I think you need to remember as well that right, you know, we've not been able to kind of have anything other than an either or for a while. I mean, we're still in a second lockdown now. So I think we're going to see these changes coming in probably, you know, closer to the beginning of next year.
And have you noticed, Linda, a vast increase in your own working habits? Because I mean, I suspect that immediately the first lockdown actually happened, you were probably inundated with people saying, Linda, help us, what we're going to do?
Do you know what? I think there has been, look, you know, a lot's been said about the toll that's taken on mental health, but it really has, and it's completely understandable. So, you know, pre-existing conditions were certainly amplified, and of course, you know, there's a whole aspect of loneliness that came into what happened, and that, you know, we know is very bad for your health. You know, human beings, you know, we're made to connect, we're made to kind of I guess look after not just ourselves but each other. So this kind of distancing thing, I think, had a real toll. But on a positive note, the good thing that did come out of it is, you know, as I think the idea that even though maybe we've got to be physically distanced, we were able to kind of stay socially together through these technologies. And I'm really excited to see what's going to happen in medicine in the next few years in terms of how we kind of use them to move forward.
Neil, presumably the takeaway from this morning's discussion is of course, maintaining the importance of monitoring our own individual health, but not to actually avoid seeking expert advice if there's anything that's noticed that you feel is causing a concern.
Yes, absolutely. And the NHS provides some fantastic resources online, the NHS 111 website. And Co-op Health ourselves, we've got some fantastic blogs online that will help people and patients manage their conditions. But the key takeaway message I would say is don't run out of your medicines just because you don't want to leave home. There are ways and means of getting them to you.
And Linda, that doubtless you'd echo that in terms of at the end of the day, to ensure that there's a kind of a key balance to what we're doing, and don't panic. I know it's often easier said than done, but we need to be in that situation where, you know, we do acknowledge that all things must pass, as many philosophers have said.
Indeed, and they do. So yes, absolutely. You know, don't panic. Have a sense of entitlement over your health and well-being, which means ask for help when you need to. And the final tip that I would say is just make sure you get the basics right, right? You know, if you're eating well, you know, sleeping well and moving a bit, then that helps so many things, certainly your mental health. And big proponent of getting those basics right.
I would obviously plug hugely drlinda.co.uk as a go-to website to find out more details about your awesome self, Linda, as you know. Neil, any other website you'd like to sort of promote, which you'd point people in the direction of for the details about what we've been talking about today?
Yeah, we've got lots of information, coop.co.uk/health.
Excellent. Two final questions for your good self. Linda, I think we pretty much know what they are, but firstly, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the programme today?
I had a wonderful Zoom with you today. Thank you.
Yeah, the days of telephonic links, they've moved on. They've been replaced. We're now into the Zoom sort of world. So the next critical question is, will you return?
Oh, I'd be delighted. Whenever you want me, I'll be here.
Excellent. And Neil, same two questions to your good self. Has it been okay for you? And will you come back?
I would love to come back. Yes, it's been great, Alex. Thanks for hosting us.
Excellent. Neil Stewart, Superintendent Pharmacist at Co-op Health, and the awesome psychologist, Dr. Linda Papadopoulos. Huge thanks. Take care and be well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Drug-resistant epilepsy patients have been found to be at increased risk of depression or mortality. Okay, that's not great news. But in terms of Epilepsy Awareness Month, we're still delighted to welcome from the Epilepsy Society, Professor Leigh Sander. How are you, Leigh?
Oh, hello, Alex. Nice to talk to you and be able to share some of what's going on in this Epilepsy Awareness Month.
Absolutely. Now, in some of the findings that have been basically developed through this, one in three people who suffer from epilepsy are drug resistant, and indeed, tragedy, that suicide mortality rates are 22% higher in those with epilepsy. I mean, clearly, the whole notion of seizures, coping with them, we're in the 21st century, though. Surely we should be reaching the stage where people are more aware of what challenges are actually around and we're being faced with here.
Yeah, thank you, Alex. This is a very important point. I think that there are two parts of this. One is that, yes, indeed, we are in the 21st century, and we have made a lot of progress in medicine in many areas. But unfortunately, we still have about 30% of people with epilepsy that do not respond to the treatment, drug treatments that we have currently. And this is really the sort of more severe end of the spectrum of people with epilepsy. For the majority of people, we do have ways to get them seizure-free and make epilepsy something of the past in their life. But there is this group of 30% where we haven't been able as yet to make as much inroads as we would love to do and to improve the life of everyone.
And what advice, Professor, would you actually give to somebody if they weren't sure if they actually had drug-resistant epilepsy?
I think that this is an advice that goes to everyone having seizures. Anyone that continues to have seizures, they should really consider going to see their doctor, because A, something can be done if they don't have intractable epilepsy in terms of stopping or decreasing their seizures, hopefully to stop. And people that have proven to be resistant to the drugs that they have tried, they might be other drugs, but also they might be other forms of treatment, such as surgery, devices, diets. So it's important for people, if they have any doubts or if they're having seizures, then go and see your doctor and get things started in terms of trying to see if there's something that can be done.
And again, just talk us through the notion of how actually having drug-resistant epilepsy can actually affect you if you do suffer from it.
Well, you know, epilepsy has, particularly drug-resistant epilepsy, has a number of impacts in someone's life. For instance, an adult won't be able to drive, so that can limit what people can do. And there's a number of professions, and we hear today about a person who wanted to be a paramedic and because of uncontrolled seizures could not fulfill their wishes in terms of career. People often have psychosocial impact. People with epilepsy that is not controlled may not be able to get full employment. They may not get employment at all. They may feel depressed, and we already, you mentioned it, sometimes their self-confidence can go down. It also impacts the people around the person, family and friends. So epilepsy has a very, imposes a very big burden on people, their families and people around them.
And is there light at the end of the tunnel? I mean, can we actually look to some form of ameliorative treatment being found in the not too distant future?
I think that there's always progress, maybe slower than we wish it was, but there are a few new drugs in the pipeline. There are new surgical techniques coming up. There are devices. And, we should never give up hope, as we hear today from a person that suffers from chronic drug-resistant epilepsy. So there are a number of things in the horizon. They might not help everyone, but they may actually do some good for a number of these people that currently have drug-resistant epilepsy.
And clearly we've just been able to scratch the proverbial surface in this particular short piece, Professor Sander, but where would you suggest people should actually go to find out further information for this topic?
Well, one of the places people should start to find out more about epilepsy would be the website of Epilepsy Society, and that's epilepsysociety.org.uk, or just put Epilepsy Society on Google or Bing or whatever search engine you have, and you will come across a site that will provide a full range of information about epilepsy.
Professor Leigh Sander, Head of the Department of Clinical and Experimental Epilepsy at UCL Queen Square Institute of Neurology, Consultant Neurologist at UCLH National Hospital for Neurology, and Neurosurgery and Epilepsy Society's Medical Director. Huge thanks. Many thanks indeed, and keep on keeping on.
Thank you, Alex.